webcasting to the world the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, August 13th, 2008. The only August 13th, 2008 in the history of humanity, and the only first night of the summer pledge drive 2008 for the Gospel Revolution ever. Welcome in on this Wednesday night, Glenn Klein Online, back in the saddle here in the official Glenn Klein Online studios in Tampa Bay, Florida, helping you over the hump of the week, asking you to help us over the hump of needing your financial help as we come to you each quarter. Just once a quarter, folks, do we do this. 3 weeks out of each quarter, we come to you asking you for your financial assistance to help us so that more and more people around the world can hear the news. It's the good news that God is not upset with them. Far from it, that he has forgiven them of all sin, all bitterness, all guilt, all fear. Everything has been redeemed by the blood of salvation, by the blood of Joshua, by the blood of Yeshua, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's good news, and we're going to ask you to come on in and let us know what you're going to do for the Gospel Revolution over the course of the next 3 months by calling us tonight. I'm looking at the very handsome face of Sean O'Halloran. I've been gone for these many weeks in the undisclosed location. I'm very disclosed tonight here in Tampa, Florida, at the studio. Sean O'Halloran, waiting to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We'll be taking your calls, your questions, your comments, as always. But tonight, a special night, a 90-minute version of the Glenn Klein Online webcast, as we do our best to make sure that this thing just keeps on rolling. We're asking you to do your best too. 1-800-436-3260. All you do is you go to that number, call us, let us know what you're going to do, and then go to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, Gospel Revolution, click on donations, and we will be explaining the thank you gift and everything that has to do with our effort here to pursue this desire in our heart that we believe God has implanted in us to let everybody everywhere know that there is no hell. Jesus actually redeemed all humanity from unrighteousness, and everybody's going to heaven. And the man that, for so many of us who are listening to this webcast right now and around the world, that introduced us to this concept of the gospel of grace and peace is at home in his home office in beautiful Houston, Texas, also the home of the first annual Gospel Revolution Convention coming in November, the most reverend Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Brother Glenn, good evening.
How are you?
You know, I'm so wonderful, I don't know what to do with myself.
You are, rumor has it, and
I know,
of course.
It is, and I've got good news on this end of the line already. We have Betty Estes, who called in here to the office of Mike Williams Ministries and donated $200 to our pledge drive for this summer. And that is Betty Estes, a long time supporter of the ministry and a long time friend of the gospel.
Do you remember where Betty is from?
Just one moment, and I think I can tell you. I know that I have it down here.
Dun, 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 dun. Speaking of music, as Michael's looking for that, that is the thank you gift for $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or new monthly giving, totally $100 or more. You're going to receive the new music Gospel Revolution mix entitled Songs of Freedom and Redemption. And it's kind of a surprise what's on there. We're gonna you're gonna want one of these, believe me, beautiful humans. But one thing I can promise is that blessed assurance, which Michael actually sang live and direct the other night on the webcast, and that he has sung all over the world as he's been moved in his heart, that we are assured in a very blessed way that Jesus is mine, and oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That song will be on there, but you are not going to want to miss this Gospel Revolution music mix, Songs of Freedom and Redemption, for gifts of $100 or more. That's the thank you CD in this quarter during the summer pledge drive. So do we know where Betty's coming from?
Betty and Paul are from Tonganoxie, Kansas.
Kansas.
They are Kansas folks, yes.
We're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
I don't know of anybody who lives in Tonganoxie, Kansas, other than Paul and Betty.
Well, Tonganoxie is much better off for Paul and Betty Estes, who are getting us off to a great start on the Gospel Revolution Pledge Drive for the summer of 2008. And Betty and Paul are eligible to receive, free and postage paid, the brand new CD. This getting into music, and it's very appropriate, too, because Michael is, many folks that have been following the webcast know that music is going to be a big part of the Gospel Revolution Convention as Greg Amberge gets his band together for the convention in November. And music is a great way to express our love for God, but much more importantly and much more significantly, God's love for us.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things of the entire experience of our church experience. So many of us, I know myself included, there was so much the issue of worship. We now, of course, understand and have come to understand through the years that we're in a constant state of worship and that God does not inhabit our praises. He did that in the old covenant because he couldn't inhabit us, but now he inhabits us so we can praise. But the, of course, the verse is taken out of context. Actually, it says God inhabits the praises of Israel is the verse that is taken out of context. But when you begin to study the habitation of God, God could only dwell, Glenn, in that which was perfect. So since the people were not perfect in the eyes of God, he offered them the opportunity to experience the closeness of him if they offered up a perfect praise, giving thanks to his name, that he would come and dwell in the perfect praises. And now, though, that Jesus has done his work, we do not praise to try to create a place of God, this righteous and holy God, a perfect atmosphere for the perfect and holy God to come and dwell in our midst. In fact, he made the decision that through the blood of Jesus that he would make us perfect and holy. What does it do with praise? Take it away? Well, not really. I think it actually kind of adds to the mix, and that is the fact that we now praise because we are inhabited and have become the habitation of God.
Well, I was talking.
That is why we praise.
I was talking to Amberge about this discussion after we talked about this last week, and you used a certain term that I haven't gone back and listened to last week's webcast that featured Carlton Pearson, but you used a term about what praise and worship and the music had become in Christianity, and we couldn't remember the term. Can you remember it, Michael?
I don't remember the discussion.
No surprise there. But it was a pejorative term. What the praise and worship has become in the church is this sort of exterior or external effort to try to get people all revved up for something to happen instead of reflecting in a musical way about what already has happened and what is happening in our midst to no fault or credit of our own, but to all the credit of God and his only begotten Son, Jesus.
Yeah, it really has become an effort to get a response from God, and that is, you know, and that's the thing that we're seeing about the entire gospel message is that everything that was prescribed by God, everything he told man to do to be able to get a response out of him, he turned everything on its head, and he did it to get a response out of us. Every avenue that he said, this is the avenue you can use to get to me, he turned it on its head and said, this is the avenue I've done that I have used to get to you. As we were talking last week, even about anybody coming to God through Jesus. Well, even we couldn't do that, because to come to God through Jesus, you have to believe perfectly, and nobody believes perfectly. And so instead, we've had the incredible understanding that it is still Christ, but instead of man coming to God through Jesus, God came to man through Jesus. And worship is not what we use to get a response out of God. Worship is our response to God for indwelling us with His Spirit. It's not the means by which we gain access to the Spirit, but it is the response to the Spirit having gained access to us.
Well, it's called the Upside Down Kingdom.
The Upside Down. I think we got a series.
We have a series, and you can go online, as always, and stay up to date at GospelRevolution.com. We talked last week with Carlton Pearson, who will be at the convention in November, about the cross and some of Carlton's comments, and it made me think exactly what you just said, Michael, that the cross was an amazing historical wake-up call to humanity. The one that may have gotten the most shocking and revelatory wake-up call was John the Revelator. And people have misinterpreted that revelation in the book of Revelation as something that John got on the Isle of Patmos, but we know he got it on the day of the Lord. And we know that that day was the day of the crucifixion. And the effect of God offering his son, in effect offering himself,
yes,
as the sacrifice representing the lamb, the animals, the billions perhaps of animals whose blood had been shed up until that time for the transgression of sin, and what that all represents, what an incredible metaphor, and what an amazing wake-up call for humanity that the price has been paid.
Yes, no doubt, you know, to have man's mentality shocked into that reality, and I think that to talk about a shock to John, as he, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, not on the Isle of Patmos. The only thing you can get out of Revelation is that John was on the Isle of Patmos when he penned this revelation. He very clearly says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And John, being a man who quoted Isaiah repeatedly, obviously knew that in the Spirit and on the Lord's Day were terms specifically used. You don't go back and fool with the terminology and take it out of context. Terms such as the day of the Lord and in the Spirit, and take those terms out of context of the prophets. And according to the prophets that he quoted, the Lord's day was the day of the cross. And that's one of the most thrilling things, to read through the book of Revelation, because to me, when I see the book of Revelation, that we're reading through what man's mindset was about God and what was being crucified. That's what man believed about God. Man believed that God was angry, and that man was expecting destruction upon himself. Man was expecting annihilation. Man was expecting all of these horrible tragedies at the hand of God. And at the cross, that got completely obliterated. And that is the reason that Paul calls it the renewing of the mind and the saving of the soul. And to come to a point to where that we have a perfect conscience. And we can have a perfect conscience. It's an amazing thing to have a perfect conscience. And that's what Paul said in Hebrews, that when the high priest went in to offer the sacrifice, even though he was ceremonially cleansed, that it could not give him a perfect conscience. before God. And but the fact that the comparison was that the blood of Jesus can and does give us a perfect conscience before God, and that we can stand before God without guilt and without judgment in our hearts or in our minds, that can actually be completely washed away by the blood of Jesus. And for John to have stood and watched that mindset be obliterated through the work of the cross, to me is just one of the most wonderful things that I get to share with people. And
it's also a great explanation on the book of Revelation, which, of course, so many people struggle with. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is night number one. We have 3 weeks to raise $17,500. It's our goal for the summer pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution, $7,500 of which has been targeted to take care of the expenses for the Gospel Revolution Convention. We've already had Betty and Paul Estes from Kansas contribute $200. And with a $100 contribution, we want to welcome online right now our correspondent from the great state of Wisconsin, the heartland of America, coming through right off the bat, Mr. Pep Washburn. Pepe!
Yeah, hello, Glenn. Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Nice to be on with you again. I'd like to just throw in a quick comment here, if I could. You're discussing the issue of Patmos and then the Day of the Lord. I was coincidentally just studying that today, and it dawned on me that, if my understanding is correct, there were no punctuations used in the at that time in history, at least in Greek writing.
That's true.
And when we read our Bibles today, of course, we've got all these chapters and verse numbers that have been inserted hundreds of years later, and we also have paragraphs put down for us that supposedly some scribe or translator in the past has now determined that we put in these paragraphs so that we could better understand the train of thought. Yet, those paragraphs were not there. If I understand the way ancient people wrote, those paragraph divisions were not there. And so when we look at I think it's the first chapter in Revelation, the verse 9 starts a paragraph, supposedly. In verse 9, he talks about himself being on the island of Patmos. Verse 10, he talks about himself receiving these understandings on the Lord's day. But verse 9 and 10 are placed in an arbitrarily designed paragraph. And so we tend to think, well, therefore, we make a connection between Patmos and the Lord's Day, that's where he received it, mm-hmm. when that's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily so. It's almost as if the paragraph needs to end after verse 9, and now the new thought that John is interjecting here, and on the Lord's Day, I'm on Patmos, but in the spirit on the Lord's Day, you see, starting another paragraph.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. In fact, Michael, I mean, people who are listening to this webcast right now might think that our Wisconsin correspondent, Pep Washburn, was set up to actually bring this up tonight. But we want to let everybody know that everything that happens on the webcast pretty much is just live and spontaneous. But that's a great point, is that the punctuation and the way the thing is put together has a major influence. And if there's anything that you have stressed over this decade, we're almost into two decades now of this, is that you must read it in context, and if for no other reason than because there was no punctuation and there was no paragraphs and things like that when the original text was written.
Well, especially punctuation. Of course, the original, the Greek language does not have punctuation because the expression of its intent is in the words themselves instead of the sentence structure as we know it, with commas and periods and all of these things. the intent of all of that was in the word itself. And probably the most questionable part of translation, anybody can go back and look up a Greek word or a Hebrew word, but the most questionable part of anyone's ability to translate is to leave out their own presumptions of the intent of the words and the structure of the Greek or the Hebrew language in the way that it was written, because by putting a comma or leaving out a period or adding a period, you're not necessarily disturbing the translation of the word, but you could be mistranslating the intent of that word. So there's been so many places where people have pointed out to me, you know, the placement of a period or a comma, just like the teaching that we did on tithing. From even when we were teaching on the subject of tithing, by moving those commas, just a comma, I think it is, around a little bit, the difference between saying that I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, the difference between it being that God's going to pour a blessing out to you rather than opening you up and making you a great blessing, which comes into much more line with what giving is all about, is that we are a blessing to other people, which happens to be our subject for the next three Wednesdays. but we also, I remember somebody pointing out to me in Ezekiel, where it said, which was quoted many times, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a comma or period, God will raise up a standard. And someone pointed out to me that if you go back to the original text and the intent, it would say when the enemy comes in, period, God, like a flood, God will raise up a standard. So the difference in that is that the flood is the enemy, and in the other one, the flood is God raising up the standard. And it's all the difference of where a particular period or comma is. So it is, what you brought up to us tonight, Pep, really is a very powerful point. And we should be aware, because here's the thing. When you're looking at something as powerful as the gospel, you've got to keep in mind the big picture. To get the big picture, you have to understand the gospel based on the scriptures. And then when you're able to look at the big picture, you say, you mean you have the right to move commas and periods around? Absolutely. I mean, somebody put them there in the first place. I mean, why wouldn't I have the right to move it around myself if somebody else put it a certain way? Especially when they put those there with the paradigm, which was not based in understanding of grace and peace and the redemption of the world.
Well, especially given the fact that in many cases the translations were made to actually put people under bondage, because
absolutely.
And Pep, can I reveal the story of the overhead caper? Do you give me permission?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, as many of you beautiful humans know, I am originally, as far as in my religious experience, from Wisconsin. Pep and I attended the same church in central Wisconsin. And Michael, when we were first coming into the understanding of the gospel, Pep, like a super secret agent, would sneak into the church and take the transparencies from the overhead and would change the words, go onto his computer, because they were, of course, computer produced, and would change the words of these songs and make them consistent with the message of the gospel of grace and peace. And it was always great to see the people who were reading the and singing the songs off the transparencies, just enjoying the words that were consistent with the gospel, and the pastor and the worship leader's face as they realized that those words had been changed by super secret agent man Pep. They didn't even... You little...
Well, They didn't know that I had changed them.
No.
And, but as they're singing the new words, you can just see the glory of God, if you will, beginning to shine out of their faces because the bondage that was in the first words was now gone.
Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it, Pep?
Oh, that was, I'll never forget that. Never.
Well, we had some fun. Well, listen, it's fun to be part of this effort, too, and Pep has donated $100 tonight.
Thanks, Pep.
Peppy, thank you so much for your support. And, of course, you'll be receiving free and postage paid the brand-new Gospel Revolution music mix, Songs of Freedom and Redemption. And I know that you are going to love that, too.
I'm sure I will.
Thanks so much for your time, my brother.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
Call back next week if you have a chance.
Alrighty.
Always happy to hear from you.
I'll do it.
There's Pep Washburn. I mean, Pep's going to be at the convention in Houston. So you folks are going to meet Pep Washburn. You're going to meet Betty and Paul Estes, hopefully. You're going to meet all kinds of people, names that you've been hearing literally for decades now, that actually have human beings behind them. But Pep basically is a very innocent-looking, laid-back, kind of looks like Willie Nelson. And you would not expect him to go and, behind the scenes, steal the transparencies of a church and change the words, Michael, so that they more accurately represent the actual message of the gospel.
Is it? Secret agent, man.
Secret agent, Pep. He actually loves people enough to give them the truth, don't you know? Okay, so our goal is already, we're well into our goal. Our goal is $17,500 for the next 3 weeks between the Estes gift and Pep's gift, totaling $300. We're down to $17,200. And what are you going to do tonight? We're taking $17,500. That's our operating budget for the next 3 months of the Gospel Revolution. You say, well, that's not that much money when you consider how many people are involved in this effort. We agree with you. But we are growing slowly. That's the way that we believe that is the healthiest way. If somebody would plunk down a check for $1 million, well, I was going to say we wouldn't know what to do with it. We probably would figure out what to do with it. But we're happy to take this slow growth process and this way that this thing has been going. But we know that $7,500 out of that $17,500 has been targeted to pay the bills for the Gospel Revolution Convention that's going to be at the beautiful Houston Marriott North at Greenpoint. All you got to do is go onto the GospelRevolution.com webpage. All the information about the convention is there. To make a donation to be part of our reaching our goal of $17,500, just go to that webpage, GospelRevolution.com, click on donations, do your best, whether it be in a one-time gift or a monthly gift, $10, $15, $20. It doesn't make a difference. It all you think, well, all I got is $20. It all goes into the same kitty. It all goes into the same purse. And the whole purpose of that purse is to get more and more people freed up in their hearts and minds that God is not upset with them. God is not judging them. God has put all his judgment, all his upsettedness, if you will, on the body and into the soul of Jesus Christ. And at the cross, at that event, that the Bible says in God's mind happened before the foundations of the earth, the Bible says Christ was crucified. Knowing that, people take on a whole different mindset and a whole different identity. And it seems, Michael, that over time, it has had a stabilizing effect, certainly in our hearts and minds. And as we've witnessed people walk this thing out, it ain't easy when freedom comes into one's soul and you question everything. We had a tremendous email that we'll get to tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about this later, about our email-only night special webcast tomorrow night. Of course, it will be archived for those that like to listen on the archive, but we had a great email from Chris Weeks talking about questioning everything. One of the things that people have questioned, of course, Michael, when they come into this freedom is giving. And we questioned it ourselves. I mean, it was very difficult for us to ask for money. And we finally got to the point when we were on the webcast and you had been traveling the planet for the better part of 10 or 12 years. We've been doing the webcast then for about 3 or 4 months and $0 were coming. We thought, well, maybe it's time to ask. And since we've been asking, things have started to turn around. And so I have absolutely, knowing not only our hearts, but knowing what our purpose is, I have zero problem asking for people's help financially.
Yeah, it was a freedom that I know I had to have because, well, as you know, even in the meetings that you've been in with me, not only did I know that I was in a financial disaster taking place, but right in the middle of that, I would go out and do and teach and share the gospel and get so caught up in what I was doing, I would totally forget to even stop and even give the people an opportunity to give.
Ladies,
let's ask them for money.
I'd be sitting there when I'd be traveling with Michael, and he'd be giving this great message, and then he would be done and would not ask for a nickel. The offering, of course, in most Christian churches, certainly in the Word of Faith movement, is the denouement. I mean, it is the moment, is the climax.
Oh, absolutely.
They have a whole separate sermon just about giving, and Michael would freaking forget to even ask for any money. Well, we got over that hump, speaking of hump day, and now we're asking for your help. We want you to give us a call tonight at 1-800-436-3260. All you do is go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage. If you're listening live, just click on donations, make your best decision according to where your finances are and how you'd like to help us and the impact that this message has had on your life, and then email us, whether you're listening live or on the archive, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can count it towards our goal of $17,500. We're already at $17,200 because Betty and Paul Estes of Kansas and Pep Washburn of Wisconsin have already done $300 between their two gifts. And now we have calling us from West Orange, New Jersey, Mr. Ryan Cunningham. Ryan!
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing wonderfully. How is life in Sopranoland out there in New Jersey?
It is beautiful. A lovely 72 out tonight. Can't beat it.
That's very pleasant.
Things in the Great North Woods.
Well, I'm not in the North Woods anymore, and thank you for reminding me. I'm happy to report to you that I'm in Tampa, Florida. And Connie, are you there? Oh. Ryan?
Glenn?
Yeah, can you hear me? All right, well, Connie is having technical difficulties. Sean, call, hang up on Ryan. Michael, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, hang up on Ryan and call him back, all right? We'll get Cunningham back on the line. That's Ryan Cunningham, who is a longtime friend of this webcast and this beautiful human, and has been majorly impacted by the gospel of grace and peace. You got him back there, Sean? What? Every so often, we do have technical problems. What are we doing, Sean? All right, Ryan, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
How you doing?
Yeah, I would just explain. We had some technical problems, and we do have that from time to time. But I was explaining to people that we have a long-standing relationship. You're good friends with my sons, Joseph, Jacob, and Judah.
I have traveled
to the North Woods, but you've also been exposed to this gospel. You grew up as a Catholic boy, and then all of a sudden you meet Joe, Jake, and Jude Klein, and you find out that their father is a minister and has a different take on Christ, and it's had a little bit of an impact on your life, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's like a weight's been lifting off my shoulders, you know?
Awesome. You talk about a weight lifting off your shoulders. You know, Ryan, the Catholic Church, of course, has utilized guilt and condemnation and fear for so long. What level of guilt was in your life and has been lifted off since you started listening to Michael's teachings and the webcast?
Well, you know, especially when I was younger, it was there was a lot of guilt. You know, everything you did was kind of frowned upon, and it was all about confessing your sins and just really harping on the whole sin thing. And it kind of drove me away from the church, you know, away from the message of Jesus and God and just being a holy person. And then, you know, when I met you and you introduced me to the gospel revolution and I started hearing it, it just started making more sense, you know, because it never really made sense to me that a God, all-loving, all-powerful, and all-knowing, would damn anybody. And, you know, it's really hard to explain in a different way besides it's just a weight lifted off my shoulders, you know. Now I understand how I'm viewed by God and just what my place is, you know.
And you know without a shadow of a doubt that when you breathe...
Hello?
When you breathe your last breath...
I can't hear you guys again.
Oh, you got cut off again. Well, Connie, go listen to the archive. But I know that because he told Sean before he went online with us that Ryan has donated $100 tonight, Michael, which is a huge contribution. Sean, try to talk to Ryan offline and tell him.
No, I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, I don't know. It just keeps cutting out.
Yeah, like, well, you know, cellular technology is not perfect. The only thing that we know that is perfect is God's love and his forgiveness. See how I like to tie everything into the gospel, Michael?
Yeah, very good at it, too.
Thank you.
He's the man.
Well, Connie, thank you so much for your $100 contribution. And for that, of course, you're going to be receiving free and postage paid the brand-new Gospel Revolution music mix, which I know is going to... absolutely worn out in your CD player. Songs of Freedom and Redemption. You are going to love it, my friend.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I might have to call back and donate another 100 for a new one.
Okay. Well, one thing that Ryan is very well aware of, as is everybody who's in our relationship, is that Ryan and I share the same birthday of December 19th. And so we are birthday buddies forever.
Forever.
So we will be up there in heaven celebrating together every day, but certainly on December 19th for like the next forever years. So that's a long time.
A wonderful thing, a wonderful thing.
Thanks for calling, and thanks for being part of the Gospel Revolution, Connie.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you guys.
All right. There's Ryan Cunningham from West Orange, New Jersey. And what a great kid, Michael. And you know, he actually worked... at a Catholic church when he first moved to New Jersey. And the priests would be having their coffee and their cigarettes in the morning, and he would be sharing the gospel with the priests and literally sharing profound insight about the Bible with the so-called men of God. It kind of freaked them out, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's these things that happen in childhood, these childhood religious experiences, are profoundly impacting and molding and destabilizing. There's just hardly enough terms to describe it. I am. I have one of my friends here in Houston. His father is Pakistani, and his mother is Mexican, and so the two religions, of course, that he was raised under. His parents are not together anymore, but he goes to mosque on the weekend out of reverence to his father. But since I met him and we started talking, and he, you know, we started discussing what I do, and it's of course with him, with this blend of these two religions. It's just amazing the connection, to his heart that has come about in these conversations. And he just told me that he was, at mosque on the weekend, and he was talking, he first mentioned, he said the minister there has a lot of good things to say and, you know, encourages you. And so then I made some comment back, and he said, oh, yeah, and he had a moment where he was talking to all of the kids in the congregation, and he started talking about grilling out in the backyard and watching their fathers throw steaks on the hot coals. And started telling the children that if they sinned and disobeyed their parents, that what their fathers did with that raw meat on the grill was nothing compared to how they would burn in hell if they sinned. and they offer no Jesus. I mean, they don't even offer a Jesus, you know? So of course, with that comment, I was kind of pointing out, you know, there's no amount of kind words or encouragement that you can give to a child once you've just told him that if he sins, he's going to roast in hell like a steak on a barbecue pit,
yep.
You know, in the middle of summer.
Yep.
So these things for children, and that's where my heart is. If God himself were to give me a ministry that explicitly was able to reach into the domain of the lives of young children who are getting these messages around the world and be able to share with them that just at the moment that they hear such ridiculous, stupid statements, and I told my friend, I said, that's child abuse. I said, you can't take something nice somebody said and then not acknowledge the fact that telling a child something like that, I believe it's child abuse.
Right.
And if we had the opportunity, if I had the opportunity that only children could hear me, children who have no money to give, I swear I would, if they could hear my voice, I would choose to share this message with nothing but children who don't have a penny to give, because the impact in their life is profoundly negative.
Well, and they also have an inner sense that if they have any kind of love in their life, that this vengeful God that is being presented to them in Sunday school, as Ryan said, just cannot be right. I mean, even to a child, it is inconsistent and illogical.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it is just amazing. And thank God we have good news, you know, to share with these precious people, and whether children or adults. And so much of what we're battling against, Glenn, is those things that were heard in Sunday school, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we're doing, and that's why we're on here, and that's why we're asking for people's help tonight. Because, you see, and just in that situation, I mean, if we did nothing but the CDs, but because I have the freedom to be able to sit and have coffee with someone and share with a young person who is attending mosque and have the opportunity to get to tell them, you know, what you just heard is absolute child abuse, and them respond like, oh, my God, I know. It's like my heart. I know that is, but them wanting to understand why that I could be so bold as to label something as child abuse. But, you know, we've got the freedom to do that, and it comes from people's support. And getting the CDs out, I mean, it's just amazing. We appreciate everything that everyone does.
Well, we certainly do. And because we are wanting to share, at the end of the day, we're all children. As you beautiful humans know, I do motivational speaking and life coaching for a living. And one of the messages that I give is that at the end of the day, what adults are just adolescents in older bodies. Unfortunately, we do not mature emotionally or psychologically or mentally past the time that we're about 13 years old, because we start finding our identities and our love in all the wrong places, to quote a famous song. And so we have to go to the adults, because they're the ones that are teaching the Sunday school, and they're the ones that are standing before not only grown children of God, if you will, but also the actual children, and proclaiming this vengeful, hateful, just paranoid God that is not biblical. They pull out verses from the Bible that are out of context, and we have had the privilege of walking through this journey. Our subtext of the Gospel Revolution Convention is For God So Loved the World, Celebrating the Journey. We have this journey to celebrate, and we can only do it with your financial help. That's just the bottom line. And so that once a quarter, we take 3 weeks and we focus on our financial needs. And you folks who have benefited from hearing the gospel that Michael preaches and that we've had a chance to share around the world via the internet, we're asking for your help tonight. Our goal for the next 3 months is $17,500. We know compared to TBN or to the 700 Club or to Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or even to the old Mike Williams ministry days, that don't sound like much money. But that is the money that goes to producing the CDs, to paying the electric bills, to paying for the equipment and for the time so that we're able to webcast. $17,500, $7,500 of which is targeted for the upcoming Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston in November. For gifts of $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new CD. It's a music CD, something different this time, entitled Songs of Freedom and Redemption. And you are going to, as I was just saying to Ryan, you are going to play it out on your CD player. You are going to love the theme and the spirit of the songs that are shared with you via this CD. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com. That's gospelrevolution.com. Click on donations, and then there's your options. You can make a one-time gift. It doesn't make a difference if it's $5 or $5,000 or $50,000. It's all going to the same effort, which is to continue to spread the word that is Jesus Christ. He said, Michael, I am the word. The Bible's not the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ, Joshua, Yeshua, in Hebrew salvation, Yeshua, that he is the word of God. That is where your money goes toward, is to sharing with more and more people, especially the folks, Michael, that are still bound up in legalism and religion within the church pews, that they do not have to, as Ryan was referring, repent for their sins anymore. Yeah. That God has decided he is the one that repented. He decided once and for all that where in Adam all had sinned, in Christ all had been redeemed. And the Bible says that the gospel, the grace of God, more than overcame Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. How that is accomplished, that is goes beyond our understanding. But even if it was just the same as more of making up or redeeming the fall of Adam, that would be good enough. But we're getting, I think, what Paul called a little foretaste of our inheritance before we get to heaven, to have an understanding of how, because the fellowship that we experience in the church and the coming together under the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, those are some good times. We met some nice people. We had some identity. We had some communion, if you will. But what we're getting on this side of the cross and the understanding of the gospel, it is so much better than what we experience, even from a human understanding, in the church.
Yeah, no doubt, and it really is amazing that we've been able to not only to come to some understanding of the gospel, but to be able to share it has been just an awesome, awesome privilege. And, you know, the one thing that I know that we did is prove that we would do it whether we were funded or not. That is probably the biggest reason, you know, that I've satisfied my own soul, that I already know that not only would I do this unfunded, I would do it funding it. And which I've done both. And when I ran out of the end of my funds, we still didn't stop doing it. I still continued. And as along the way, you know, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I said, you know, it's like riding a 747 all the way down, knowing that, you know, I could get out of this thing, but and now instead of riding a 747 and to the ground, which we did, and went through the disaster, but we're on a you know, that little locomotive going up the hill saying, I think I can. So we were headed back up the other direction. I mean, it may not be on a 747, but we are definitely doing good things.
Well, what we're asking you folks to do is to go on the website at gospelrevolution.com, and whatever you decide to donate towards this effort, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com so that we can count it towards our goal. We just got an email from our good friend Richard Mull in California, who's contributed an additional $50 towards the effort. Thank you so much, Richard.
Awesome. He's always there for us.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who has had tremendous impact behind the scenes on the Gospel Revolution, things that people would have absolutely no idea about. And these are the faces and the names, Michael, that will be coming together in Houston. Thank you so much, Richard. We so appreciate it. But you talked about a 747 going down. When people hear you say that, and they hear us doing our webcast thing, and we sound so happy and clappy, and you know we've got our act together a little bit, give folks an idea who might just be logging on, and we want to hear from some of you newer people, newer gospel revolutionaries, guys like Abraham Mackey, our Stockton, California correspondent. Whether you've got contributions to give or not, we want to hear from you tonight at 800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. But, Michael, give folks an idea of what you mean by whether this thing was funded or not, we were going to go with this all the way down, and the thing finally did go all the way down to the ground as if a plane was crashing. Give folks an idea of what you're talking about.
Well, in you know, the fact of it was in the Word of Faith movement, comments that were made about me from the Copelands, from the Hagans, from the Norville Hayes, and many others. I mean, I got a card and a donation from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland about one of my tape series, and Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, after he heard me teach on body, soul, and spirit for 6 months, got on TV and said this was the greatest teacher he had ever heard, and in 15 minutes learned more about body, soul, and spirit than he had known in his entire life. And so as far as that whole movement was concerned, the whole word was that I was the next latest, greatest, and best thing happening. And according to the finances and according to my speaking engagements and the numbers of people that were turning out, it looked to be that the prophecy was sealed. You know, this was something that was inevitable, and there was hardly anything that I could do to mess it up. And then came the beginning to understand the gospel of peace, which went over well. And then I started understanding grace versus law. And that's when things began to unravel. And that's when calls started being made to other pastors, and my conduct was called into question. Everybody that I hung out with, everybody I was around, Marilyn Hickey went on live TV and made all kinds of accusations against me personally and my character, and the list just goes on and on. And that's when the 747 that was in full throttle going to the stratosphere, I mean, it started into a nosedive.
Well, and we've seen some ministries, not least of which is our brother Joseph Prince out there in Asia, who preaches what he calls a radical grace message that literally learned it from you. They stopped short of having that plane crash, if you will. Because they saw what happened to you when you went all the way to his logical conclusion that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he loved the whole world, that he is actually the savior of the whole world. Because they stopped short of that, and the message of grace will resonate within the church. I was talking to a good friend of mine and a woman that we had just spoke up or started up a conversation with this evening, at a local establishment here, and we were talking about Christ and Jesus and grace. But when it came to, I pointed to everybody that was sitting in the bar, Michael, and I said, they're all going to heaven. And this woman that was having her cocktail and her smoke said, no. They are not going to heaven. Not even knowing if those people had put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. That's where the line was drawn, and that's what caused the ultimate calamity to our effort, is when we went all the way, if you will. Just like Jesus did. He went all the way. We went all the way in the logical conclusion that he had actually cleansed and reconciled the entire world to himself through his blood, just like the Bible says.
Yeah, and you know, and Joseph Prince, who I had the pleasure of spending much time on the phone with and sent him virtually all of my material in the late 90s, was wise enough in his book to, in the middle of his book, to say that there are some who've taken the message of grace and declared that the entire world has been redeemed, and says, then warns people that this is a heresy and it is to be avoided. So yeah, you know, it's he knew where to stop, you know. But I for one I couldn't possibly stop, and I've not given up on Joseph yet. Let me make that declaration. I know that there was a man excited about truth and loving every minute of it and willing to change his mind in the face of adversity. And when I was talking to Joseph back in those days, I had not come to the conclusion that the entire world had been redeemed, and at least was not speaking openly about it. And as I was talking to him, I could hear. I mean, he's definitely the one thing. Let me say this, you know. The one thing that I know about Joseph Prince is that he is a man who loves truth. I really do believe that. And where he is right now, I do not believe is where he is going to be in the future. And because when you are able to connect with somebody on a level of discovery, as I was able to do with Joseph Prince, my heart is looking for that encounter to where that he and I can sit down and discuss this and find that heart that, again, that I had on the phone with me back those many years ago, 11, 12 years ago or more, and reconnect with that, because I know what's there. I know that it's a beautiful heart. So,
all right. Well, yes, nobody is without hope. that we will say. And it seems like, ironically, that as folks get closer and closer to what they perceive as the end of their lives, they become more gracious, in other words, more full of grace, like Billy Graham. You don't hear Billy Graham with the fire and brimstone messages anymore. Franklin does nicely with those, but Billy has backed...
And does even better.
And does even better, yes, indeed. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's night number one of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive. Our goal is to reach $17,500. We're at $17,500 now to go because of the gifts from Betty and Paul Estes of Kansas, Pep Washburn of Wisconsin, Ryan Cunningham of New Jersey, Richard Mull of California, and another California calling in right now with a big contribution of $100 and $50 a month. Our Stockton, California correspondent, Mr. Abraham Mackey. Abe!
Hey! Woohoo! That's an excited giver. That's a joyful giver, I hear.
First of all, Abraham asked if he could get some of the teachings besides the Gospel Revolution music mix. Not only can you get some teachings, Abraham, just email me at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let me know what you want, and we'll take care of that, plus the Gospel Revolution music mix, of course. We're happy to accommodate. How are you on this fine Wednesday evening?
Hey, I am very, I'm excited about life. It's a good trip, you know?
Well, it's a trip. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so much, but it's definitely a trip, that's for sure.
I had a great time yesterday morning at the Businessmen's Fellowship here in Stockton, and it's so amazing to me. I'm still going to be speaking there on the first Tuesday in September, and I every day I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. Yesterday morning, this is so amazing. These guys are all having a time of prayer. And they're praying, these guys are praying for their sons and everything. And of course, you know, they're praying about this and praying about that, and I'm listening to them and I'm thinking, their sons are just growing up. That's all that's going on.
It's called life, isn't it?
It's called life. What do you want to do? Talk to God and put them in a little bubble so nothing touches them? I mean, it's just not. But that's the way we thought. That's the way we all thought. You know, we don't know any other way to do it. But the gospel really changes the way you think.
Well, that's what it's supposed to do. That's what the Bible says. It's the renewing of the mind, the cleansing of the soul. It's an ongoing process, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I wanted to give a special thanks to Michael for introducing Mary and I to the Schultzes from Pollock Pines.
How did your visit go?
We had a great time. Gosh, we spent the better part of all day Sunday together. Just what a marvelous couple. And we just were able to fellowship in such a great way.
I bet you guys had some laughs too, didn't you?
We had some great laughs. Yeah. We really did. And it's just really great. And I appreciate it because it's just to find people that you can actually talk to that have been listening and know this message. It really is a blessing.
Well, you know, you got a little bit of an appetizer, Abraham, of what the Gospel Revolution Convention is going to be like. Hundreds of people that are going to be coming together from around the world that have an understanding of the gospel of grace and peace. And what happens when people get together like you did with the Schultzes is the process, Michael, that the Bible calls salvation. When you rehearse the work of the cross, that's salvation. That's meditation. Or meditation actually means to mutter. And so when you mutter, and you're praying, you're worshiping, you're exalting, you are lifting up the name of Christ. It has an effect on one's soul, the way we think and therefore the way we act.
And yes, absolutely does, and it is amazing how that, you know, the one thing that I've really, really had the pleasure of doing is not having an issue-oriented message. And even pertaining to the issue of anyone's sexuality, I mean, one would think that that should be something that we would try to champion and make sure that everyone understood the issue. But in fact, it's been quite the opposite. We just don't address it at all, and yet people's minds are changed about the inclusiveness and their ability to look at people who may not be exactly like they are, but to be able to embrace and not tolerate. Tolerance is, to me, is just such a horrible term. And if you've ever been tolerated, you know what it feels like.
Right.
I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be embraced.
Right.
The gospel does not teach you tolerance. The gospel teaches you acceptance, and not only that you are accepted, because the thing of it is, this is the trickle-down effect, if you will. The gospel is not the message of how God tolerates us. the gospel message is that how God has embraced us. And people say, well, how does that translate into daily life? Well, we get to embrace each other. And we get to embrace each other on a level that when you're able to have the gospel to save your soul, to where you can embrace people who are unlike yourself, whether it's race, creed, color, sexuality, whatever it may be, religion, whenever we're able to embrace each other on that level, it really does, Glenn and Abraham knows this to be the truth. It gives you clarity about things in life that you didn't have clarity before in. To me, that is one of the most amazing things, because obviously in that atmosphere, that's where the fruit of the Spirit is, gifts of the Spirit, and you just start understanding things. I mean, you almost sound educated or something, you know. Sounds like you got a good education from somewhere when all you're doing is tapping into that resource of Spirit.
Well, this woman that I was speaking with earlier this evening, before coming into the studio, when I was meeting with my friend, and we were talking about the faith and heaven and hell, her issue was the fact that her nephew had just come out as a gay man. And
yep.
So my friend kept interrupting, but she so wanted to hear what I had to say, and I had to get to the studio for the webcast. But she got, you know, a good dose of the love of God and the redemptive work of Christ. But Abraham, what is your date for when you are speaking to the gospel businessmen, the so-called gospel businessmen?
I think it's the 2nd of September.
Okay, which is the Tuesday after Labor Day.
Right.
Okay, well,
exactly.
I know that because I'm traveling that day back to the undisclosed location. But we cannot thank you enough, our brother, for just participating in this whole thing. For your $100 gift and your $50 a month, just go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage and click on donations and follow the instructions there. But email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you want besides the music mix, okay?
Okay.
All right, man, we got to go.
I love you guys.
Love
bye-bye.
You, love you, too. There's Abraham.
Love you, Abraham. Thanks.
Abraham Mackey from Stockton, California.
Joining with the Schultz out there, having a good time.
Yes, and one thing that I know you mentioned to me, Michael, that Abraham was shocked that when the emails go out and say that people can talk to you in person by calling 281-894-0101, and you answered the phone and he was able to talk to you in person. I mean, he was just blown away that was actually true.
He said he was just calling to see if it really worked.
And it works. Well, with Abraham's generous gift for the $100 and the $50 a month, that puts us at $16,450 to reach our goal of $17,500 on this summer pledge drive 2008. Don't forget, tomorrow night we are going to be having a special Glenn Klein Online webcast, nothing but your emails. So if you've been holding back on some emails or you've been waiting to hear your email addressed, please log on live, or if you listen on the archive, that will be archived forever. And we're just going to address emails tomorrow night. We're going to start at 9 o'clock Eastern. We're going to go as long as we have to because we've got so many email questions queued up that have been ongoing. I've got one sitting here in front of me from April because we've been having so many callers, which we love, and we want to hear from people live. But we are going to address your emails because it is the way we do address your questions. And so log in tomorrow night or on the archive for the special Gospel Revolution email edition. It's almost 10 after 10 Eastern time. Of course, you know normally we are off around 10 o'clock. Usually we go over, but tonight we're going at least 30 minutes over, as is our practice on the pledge drive. So you've got time to call in tonight at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. And we want to welcome online Mr. Chris Weeks. Chris!
Glenn!
How are you?
I'm lovely. How are you?
Doing so well, and so happy to receive your email, which we will address specifically tomorrow night, unless you want to get into it now. But remind us where you call from.
Well, I'm calling from Cumming, Georgia, which is actually very near the water supply for Atlanta. So.
Well, you guys had some rain last night because I know that my Chicago Cubs got rained out when they were playing Atlanta, but they won the first game of the doubleheader that was forced upon them because of the weather in Georgia, and they're winning right now. I know everybody is sitting on the edge of their seat, as I am, awaiting the score from Atlanta as the Cubs are still in first place. But that's not the reason for your call, is it, Chris?
Actually, no.
say hello to Mike.
Actually, no.
Say hello to Michael.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Chris. It's good to hear from you, man. How are you?
Well, I'm great. And here I am using first names on you two as if we've been buddies forever. After hearing what you say, I feel like buddies forever. You just have never really heard much from me.
Well, I responded to Chris's email today, Michael, was saying, you know, please call in, and he said to me, you sure you want to hear the radical statements that I have to make, Chris? Radical away. There's nothing. And see, that's the beautiful thing about the gospel. When, as Michael said, we're not just tolerating people, we're embracing people, not because of what they believe or what they say or what they think or the fact that they smoke, drink, or chew, or hang around with girls that do. It's because we know who embraced them before we ever even had a chance to embrace them. And that was the creator of the universe. So our feeling, Chris, is that if God Almighty could embrace us, maybe we could be a little bit open-minded as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting that you picked that phrase as a segue, because I was sitting here making a note or two. And one of the things I wrote down was Mike's statement when he said acceptance, not tolerance. And I thought that was excellent to draw attention to it in that way. I think there's a lot of things in us. I mean, I'm talking about me as a person. Let me personalize it. There were a lot of things in me that I tolerated, mm-hmm. that I put up with. And I'm not talking about all the stuff about smoking, drinking, chewing, and everything else. Most of my conversation goes to a diagnosis of cancer that I had a couple of years ago. And there were a lot of things that I had to face at that moment. And I faced most of them, unflinchingly, until I got down to this thing called, most people would call it positive mental attitude, right? You know, where you're supposed to put a check by that box. They say, hey, you know, I'm going to be fine. And I would look inside myself, and I didn't feel like I was going to be fine. I frankly thought I was going to die. And I thought I was going to die a horrible death. And I was a Christian. Will be, shall be. but that didn't cut it. That didn't get rid of that feeling inside. And in the past, you see, I would have tolerated that kind of feeling inside. I just would have stonewalled, denied it. Heck, it's one of the best, you're in the Word of Faith movement, and one of the things that you have to learn how to be really good at is denial.
Oh, we took the issue of denial and put a doctrine to support it.
Yeah, we made it an art form, Chris.
Absolutely.
We made it an art form.
And absolutely. And you see, if I had continued the practice of that doctrine at that time in my life, when confronted with this issue, I simply would have closed my eyes to it and pretended that it didn't have that much energy, and that confessing the principles and the truths and the promises of God would be sufficient. And I'm not here to say that they wouldn't have been, but I am here to say that what I understood about tolerance at that point, there was a big difference between tolerance and acceptance. And I knew I couldn't accept how I felt inside. I knew I probably could tolerate it, but I figured that was a big mistake. And I got past it. It was a rather amazing thing. I used an energetic process that has been utilized by actually another Christian man that designed this thing. But he takes all kinds of heat for this because people think that he's involved in some sort of Oh, I don't know what they think.
Yeah, well, he's involved in the occult, and that he's involved in voodoo and in witchcraft.
New Age.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they would say things. I mean, he certainly isn't. I mean, he's a licensed psychologist, and the practices that he does are just significantly different than what most run of the mill of the people would come across. But he has a little thing called Be Set Free Fast. Maybe I shouldn't have said that on the air.
No. Go ahead. Please, yeah. Please, listen, there's people out there that are suffering from cancer right now that might be interested.
Yeah. Well, and this for me was just a way to deal with those inner feelings.
What's it called again?
Be Set Free Fast. It's by Dr. Larry Nims, who was a Christian man and does some amazing work in the area of getting rid of just unloading a lifetime of baggage, you know, to get that acceptance level up. Because, you know, when you get your internal acceptance level up where you can honestly accept yourself completely and honestly accept yourself,
yeah,
that's a basis for love. Now you're on a love basis, for a beginning basis, I think, to begin to love somebody else. But, you know, I just think we're kidding ourselves a lot of times when we just close a blind eye. We certainly are we're pretending. And
I liked Michael, how Chris called it before, denial. We were talking off air earlier in the week, Michael, about a woman who pastored a church in Madison, Wisconsin, who's now passed away, who had cancer. And not only would she not mention the word cancer until it was so obvious to everybody that she was sick, but then eventually she blamed everybody in the congregation for her cancer.
Yes, she did. And, you know, and here's the thing. You know, Norman Vincent Peale did a breakthrough work on the power of positive thinking and did a marvelous work. And but if you really look at his book, he really is talking about positive thinking. And there's a lot of people who think that they can come up with a positive vocabulary to cover up their negative thinking, and it's going to work.
Right.
A positive vocabulary covering up negative thinking doesn't mean you're a positive person. And that's what the Word of Faith movement was. It was, first off, you cannot be in denial and be positive at the same time. There is no such thing as denial and positive. But that is what we taught people to do, was to be in denial of their situation, thinking that the only way that they could be positive is to deny the situation. But see, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here with Chris. I mean, he's been through this. You can embrace the moment. You can embrace the facts, but develop an incredibly powerful mindset that is as much health or as prosperity or as much of whatever it can deliver, it will deliver. It's certainly not something that's going to be the magic wand that someone waves. But boy, I tell you, this is such an important issue, and I really appreciate Chris's call, because much of this is goes untalked about, because people know what's wrong with the Word of Faith movement, but at least we think we know what's wrong with it. But the thing that this is it, Glancy. I have never, ever, ever been against positive thinking. It is a powerful thing.
Right.
But the fake stuff, covering up negative thoughts with positive words, you can cover a pile of crap with some rose petals, and it's still going to be a pile of crap.
Right. Well, I mean, how much more positive can you get to say that this creator that most people believe is out there, based on the evidence of a creation, actually loves you unconditionally, has redeemed you from all of your actions, deeds, thoughts, behavior, and is ultimately going to place you in a place of perfect peace? How much more positive thinking can you have than that?
Well, absolutely. And just knowing, just, you know, taking away the negatives are the most powerful thing. And just being able to know that it's not, that you are not being invaded by demons, and neither are you being punished by God because you have cancer, because you're broke, because your kids are on drugs, or whatever.
Or because the people in your church are in sin, as this woman said.
Yes.
I mean, she literally blamed her cancer on the people's lack of perfection that was in her relatively large congregation in Madison, Wisconsin.
That certainly is a misplaced tragedy of you know, something I learned from Mike many years ago in his Gospel Revolution case, and one of the things he talked about was being able to have a response, or being response-able, you know, responsible. Yeah. And he would parse that word a bit like that. And, you know, that stuck with me. And, you know, the only response that you're able to pull out from your insides is what's in there. You can't pull a rabbit out of the hat if there's no rabbit in the hat, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So when you reach in there and you pull it out, and like Mike says, you pull out a bunch of crap, you can throw rose petals on it, and you can blame everybody else for pooping. Well, I used to say this, you know, you got bricks in your backpack, so to speak. You're lugging this thing around. Now, it doesn't really matter if you put the bricks there or somebody else put them there. The fact is they're in your pack. And until you take them out of that pack, you're going to carry those bad boys.
Right.
And they will break you down in certain situations in life. And if you're in a situation where you've got an 8-man rowing crew, and you've got all things you've got to line up to meet a goal, and you've got 7 of them lined up, you're not going to make it. You know? I mean, that was the way I felt. And I had to get that one on board. And when I did, man, it was just like having all 8 going the I never looked back.
Two years ago?
Yeah, two years ago.
And how long ago, Chris, did you come across the Gospel Revolution? And how did that happen?
Oh, that was in Wisconsin, in a little church in Wisconsin outside of a town called Oconomowoc, which Mike probably remembers the name of. But anyway, it's...
Oconomowoc is actually in between Madison and Milwaukee.
Yes, it is.
And,
yes, it is.
Boy, you know, Wisconsin, that must be a very anointed state, Chris, I'll tell you.
Yeah. And that was a good number of years ago.
What were you doing up there?
13 or 14 years ago. I was running a business, owned a business and ran it there. And I had been going to this little fellowship, this little church there, and one of the fellows... he's passed away now. His name is Steve Quick. Steve said, Chris, he said, you've got to come hear this guy, Mike Williams. And I said, I don't know, Steve. I said, I don't know if I want to hear anybody anymore. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I just want to go start a revolution. And his eyes lit up, and he goes, you know what this guy's coming to talk about? And I said, no. He said, Gospel Revolution. And I said, I'm coming.
That's awesome. Do you remember the pastor's name?
Keeley.
Oh, Mitch Keeley.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, no, I remember very well.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It's been a long time ago, yes.
I mean, you certainly have put some more, shall we say, you've packed some more things into the luggage since then, you know, in terms of what you're... You know, what you've built in terms of your belief, stance, and whatnot, cleaned it up. It's been great.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's been progress, and not everyone there felt it was progress, but we still moved on anyway.
Well, and you know, that's the thing right there. You know, progress is not really for someone else to judge, is it? I mean, if we're living our life for them, I guess we have to get their acceptance and approval. But I mean, sure, it's nice to have acceptance. It's nice to have approval. But you know, at some point, you have to close that gap with the kingdom of God that's within.
Boy, that is truer words have never been spoken, Chris.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time and for writing us and emailing us and and for participating. Any thoughts about coming over to Houston for the convention in November?
I don't have any thoughts about it at the moment, which is good. because so far, usually when I make plans, they get thwarted a little bit due to the nature of my work. I'm very much on very short trigger to go places, but oftentimes I can do things out and get where I need to be. So I certainly would look forward to it.
Well, we would love to see you there, obviously.
And, yeah, that would be super.
And please email us. And, you know, we're looking for a Georgia correspondent, so feel like that post is open for you to fill any time.
Well, I'm certainly willing to help someone. So if people have a feeling of being alone when they launch out away from religion, I certainly understand that feeling, having been gone now for a good number of years. You get to go through those things. You know, withdrawal is a slow process for some of us. But it seems to happen in pieces and parts. You know, you think you've dealt with the majority of it, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you go, where did that come from?
Exactly.
We
just went through something like that ourselves in the last year. You think you're all free of legalism and the churchianity, if you will, and then all of a sudden it rears its ugly head, and you got to deal with a whole set of new consequences and the new stimulus. But you deal with it, and like you said, that when the void is filled by the kingdom of God that is within, then stabilization occurs, and you can move forward.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, there's Chris Weeks, ladies and gentlemen, just outside Atlanta. You'll be happy to know, beautiful humans, that the Cubs have won the doubleheader 9-0 against the Atlanta Braves. So I will go to bed an even happier camper than I am, having a return to Tampa from the undisclosed location, and also knowing that when I die and when everybody else that I know and don't know dies, that they too will go to that place of perfect peace. What a great way to end, Michael. We're all going. We're all in.
Yes, absolutely. We appreciate everybody's participation. And, Abraham, the one thing we want to emphasize again is those monthly contributions. Just by Abraham signing up for $50 a month, he upped and contributed actually to the pledge drive $600 plus his $100 for his one-time gift was $700 altogether.
That's exactly
so,
right.
We want to encourage people about those monthlies. That is just, it is a life source. In between the times when we are not doing pledge drives, the monthly income and the pledges that people do on a monthly basis is just vital. Right now we're trying to raise funds, for the basic functioning of the ministry and to get us some funds together to handle our expenses for the conference. And we are so grateful. Everybody's been so generous tonight, and we look forward to the next time.
Yeah, specifically, we're talking about raising $17,500 over the next 21 days for the functioning of the ministry, and specifically $7,500 targeted towards that conference in November. Well, the next time we do it is going to be tomorrow night, and we're going to do it for as long as we have to. We are going to get through your emails. We have had all these emails logged for, as I said, going back as far as April, and we will get through them all. If you've got an email question, you are listening either live or on the archive between now and Thursday at 9 o'clock in the evening, get your emails in, because we're going to have a special email-only edition of Glenn Klein Online tomorrow night, Thursday the 14th of August at 9 p.m. And as always, you can always email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. But what we're asking you to do is go online to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, either make a one-time gift of any amount or these critical monthly contributions, as Michael noted, and let us know at the email address what you did so we can count it towards our goal. with the gifts tonight. Our goal now, over we have 21 days left still, because this is only the first part of day one of the 21 days. But our goal is that now it's $16,350 with all the contributions that came in tonight from Betty and Paul Esses of Kansas, from Pep Washburn of Wisconsin, from Ryan Cunningham of New Jersey, from Richard Mull of California, from Abraham and Mary Mackey of California, Chris Weeks of Georgia, and we want to thank everybody for participating. There's Michael in Houston, Texas. Michael, are you getting everything ready for the conference? Are you getting a sense that you're going out and praying over cities and towns and or not?
Yeah, we've got all the demons harnessed, and we're ready to roll.
Okay, we want to also thank, of course, our producer and engineer and call screener and pledge taker extraordinaire, Sean Halloran of Brandon, Florida, for all of his efforts. Until tomorrow night, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!